Hello, Saints. Good to be back with you again. This great, wonderful day, this brand new year we have. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, I ask for your grace and your mercy today to get this message across that is needed. A lot of people are out there that have condemnation. Lord, we need to know what it is to be righteous by faith. And Lord, I thank you for helping me get it across to them, Lord. And I praise you and glorify you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, folks, that's what I want to talk about today, that we're righteous by faith. You know, knowledge is important because you have to have knowledge to bear fruit. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises. What's your knowledge, right? That through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in that world by lust. Folks, you know, it's by knowledge of God that we're able to manifest his divine nature and escape this world. But at the same time, the Bible imputes responsibility to us when we get knowledge, and the devil uses this in a lot of cases to condemn people. James chapter 4 and verse 17 says, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is imputed when there is knowledge of sin. You know, God's very merciful with our ignorance. So along with the knowledge that we need to bear fruit and to grow up in the Lord, there comes more responsibility, and the devil is able to use that instead of us using our faith to call the things that are not as though they were, as it says in Romans 4 and 17. The devil is able to use that to condemn some people, because if you're condemned, you know, you can't have any faith. And so it's a vicious cycle. So let's talk about that a little bit today. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 is very good on this, and I want to start back in verse 3. Romans 3 and 3. For what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? Well, where's the gift of faith come from anyway? It comes from God, doesn't it? Ephesians 2 and 8 says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. Verse 10, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So it's a gift of God. If we're without faith, where do we get it from? The gift of faith that we receive from God is the grace of our salvation. Now, verse 4 says this, God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words. We're justified by faith, aren't we? But what if somebody is without faith? Does that mean that God's not able to save them? No. God's the one who gives faith in the first place. And you know, he can count righteousness to you because of your words of faith. There's a lot of people who say, I don't have enough faith. People think sometimes they don't have enough faith. But just remember this, the reconciliation that was accomplished at the cross, the exchange that was accomplished at the cross, what happened there? In that exchange, we became Jesus Christ. His life was given to us, and our life was crucified on that cross. That's what it means. An exchange for his life, for our life. Now it's no longer us that live, it's Christ that lives in us. Galatians 2 and 20. Therefore, we now have Jesus' faith. And so the question that is asked in Romans 3 and 3, for what if some were without faith? Shall their want of faith make of none effect the faithfulness of God? You see, they're still not beyond God's grasp, because God is the one who gives the gift of faith. He's also the one who works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. He tells us one thing that we can do. We can speak words of faith. And we can let our tongue be like David said in Psalm 45:1, the pen of a ready writer. We can write the word of God upon our heart, and we can agree with God. We can let God be true and every man a liar. And we can agree with God. And you know what? God will justify us for that. Gifts that we receive from God generally become because we're justified. We're accounted righteous. And he says that they, Romans 3:4, might as prevail when they come us into judgment. Let me read on down there to verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we before laid to the charge both of Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not so much as one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Now that's basically a picture of Jew or Greek that are not born from above. Everything that's not born from above, you're going to end up in that category right there. Verse 18, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. People think that born again is a one-time, get-all-you-get experience, but that's not the way it is at all, folks. You get a born-again spirit, you get a new spirit from God, and then as you walk in obedience to that spirit and the word of God, your soul becomes born again. It's called in the scriptures sanctification. Your soul, your nature is being renewed in the image of Jesus Christ, and it's a process. It don't happen overnight. And it's a sad thing that people will preach that you got all that you're ever going to get when you got saved. No, that ain't true. That's a lie. You got saved by faith, and now you're continually walking after these benefits that the Lord has given to those who are saved by faith. Then he gives us the recipe for success here. He says in verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it speaks to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be brought under the judgment of God. Well, what's that all about? You mean that God has to prove that we're sinners? Yes, he does. He has to prove to us that we're sinners, and that's the whole point behind the law. And that's to prove that if God gives you what he wants without giving you a new nature, then you're going to fall. And it'll condemn you, just like it says here, that every mouth may be stopped. No man will be able to justify himself before God because of the law. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be brought under the judgment of God. You know, it's necessary that we first know that we are sinners, okay? And then Romans 11:32 says, for God has shut up all unto disobedience that he might have mercy upon all. How has he shut up all into disobedience? Because of the law. The law made every man disobedient. The law proved what we read here in Romans 3:10-18, that every man is a sinner. We have to be proven to be sinners in order to know that we need mercy. And God says that he has shut up all under sin, that he might have mercy upon all. And his all there is talking about his elect, not all the world, because it don't ever work that way. But the truth is that we need to know that we are sinners. We need to know that. That we are in need of God himself giving us the gift of salvation and the gift of his own works too. Because the problem is that the law proves that our works are inferior. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Well, why is that? Because the law, for instance, in Leviticus 5 and verse 17, and if anyone sin and do any of the things which the Lord hath commanded not to be done, though he knew it not. You see, nobody can claim that they have kept the law. That's the whole problem. Though he knew it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. He was a sinner whether he had knowledge of sin or not. But that's not the case in the New Testament. Obviously, in the New Testament, James 4:17, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. But here, according to the law, you were held guilty to the written law, not the law written upon your heart or your mind, but the law that was written on the tablets. Leviticus 5 and 18 says this, and he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock according to thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make atonement for him concerning the thing wherein he erred unwittingly and knew it not. He shall be forgiven. Not cleansed like the New Testament, just forgiven. 19. It is a trespass offering. He is certainly guilty before the Lord. So we've all broken God's law. And the great thing is we've got a trespass offering that's a continuous one. We don't have to continue to sacrifice animals in order to have God's forgiveness and cleansing, because we've got a Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, praise God. Something that the law couldn't do. We have a Lamb that gives us this born-again experience. Spirit, soul, and ultimately, body. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 says, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And we know in Galatians chapter 5 that we're told, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing. Yea, I testify again to every man that receives circumcision that he is a debtor to do the whole law. And of course, what Paul's point was is that no matter what part of the law you attempt to keep in order to feel justified before God, it won't do you a bit of good. And the reason is because you have to keep the whole law to be justified before God. So it made it impossible for a person to be justified. Well, as a matter of fact, chapter 3 and verse 10 says the same thing in Galatians chapter 3 and 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith. So anything that you do to seek to be justified before God will fail. Even in the New Testament, you can do things to seek to be justified before God, and it's going to fail because you're just using the New Testament as a law. You're not having a grace relationship with God. And so the people who gain knowledge and are immediately condemned, they're condemned by the devil because the devil doesn't want them to have faith. But they're condemned to separate them from their faith so that they will never have power to obey. And so what we need to do is realize that nobody has been able to keep all of the will of God that's written in this book. But we can accept that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we can walk justified before God because of our faith. We're told that if you seek to be justified by works, then you're going to have to keep all of the works in order to be justified, and that ain't possible. Notice what he says in Romans 3 and 20, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Again, knowledge can bring condemnation. We're told in chapter 7 and verse 8 that apart from the law, sin is dead. And Paul said in verse 9, I was alive apart from the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. What does that mean? Meaning he was now held responsible because he knew the will of God. Now God's got a solution for this, and we know the will of God, but we fail in many things, James said. So we have to avoid what the Bible calls willful disobedience, because there is condemnation for willful disobedience. That's a premeditated, I'm going to do it, Lord, and I'll let you take the sacrifice and you can forgive me later, but I'm still going to do it. So that's a premeditated thing that we never get away with. You know, Hebrews 10:26 says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. So we need that sacrifice. Willful disobedience robs us of the sacrifice. People say that it's all under the blood. No, it's not. Not willful disobedience. You have to pay for that yourself, and God gives you a whipping to prove it. He says a certain fearful expectation of judgment. So what do we do about the knowledge received? Many of God's servants desire to serve him, desire to walk in his truth, and in such cases, God loves and God's for them and God's going to help them, but they have to be careful because the devil also uses knowledge to bring condemnation. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus in Romans 8:1. He uses it to bring condemnation to separate them from faith so that they cannot receive the benefits of God. There is knowledge of sin that we fail in, and we fail to live up to our own knowledge of God's will. So the solution, of course, is we have to constantly remind ourselves that we're not justified by the works of law. We're not justified because we're able to keep all of God's law written in his word. Even if we use the New Testament that way, we're not able to justify ourselves because we have done and kept everything that we see there. So God's solution for every one of us, and we have to keep reminding each other of this because the devil's quick to drag people down. You forget about it for a while. You study the word. You gain knowledge. You feel like a failure sometimes, but you need to renew your mind constantly with the revelation of what grace is and how God is judging us and how he's not judging us. So let's read that part in Romans 3:21. But now, apart from the law, a righteousness of God hath been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ unto all them that believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned. So you can't be justified by keeping all of God's word. And if you sin in one thing, you're a sinner. Unless you can accept by faith this God, this gift of God. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. In other words, outside of keeping all the law, being justified freely by his grace, we have to keep reminding ourselves of this because the devil is going to keep reminding us of our failures, and he's doing it to try to drag you down. And if you've got a sickness, you get your eyes off the sickness, you get your eyes on the word of God, which says, by whose stripes you were healed. We were healed spiritually as well as physically. And we need to get our eyes on the promise. We're justified by keeping our eyes on the promise, and we're dragged down when we get our eyes on the problem. You see, the Lord has given us the solution. Now all we have to do is to accept it by faith. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now you have to remember, redemption means a release on payment of a ransom. We were held captive by the devil and by the curse, and the Lord paid the price to us to set us free. He's our sacrifice. He paid the price. We couldn't pay it. We couldn't be obedient enough to justify the law or the New Testament. We can't be obedient enough to be called holy any other way than this method right here, and that is being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. As you know, propitiation is a covering. In the Old Testament, and it was hilasterion, and it was meaning an atonement, a covering for our sin. And that covering is because of our faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. He poured out His blood unto death. It was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, basically. The Lord gave His blood for our blood. And why would we need a blood sacrifice? Because our blood, which carried the sins of our parents, the nature of our parents, but which we pass on to our children, our blood is what makes us a sinner. Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, Jesus Christ gave us His blood as an atonement, and we have it by faith. We accept it by faith, and that gives us propitiation. That gives us a covering, and it's a meantime thing. People don't understand. Some people think that this is all we need. We can live the rest of our life any way we want to live because we have a covering. No. Remember this. Willful disobedience has no sacrifice. And this covering is a meantime thing because there is two workings of the blood. There is a blood covering and there is a blood cleansing. The covering is a meantime thing until the cleansing comes. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So that's God's will. Now, how do we get from here to there? That's where we need the blood covering. If we want any fellowship with God, if we want God's favor in all the things that He does for us, which is grace, if we want God's grace between here and there, then that's why we need this covering. And this covering is only going to be given to you because of your faith in the sacrifice of Jesus, that you now have His blood and not your blood. And that's the only reason this covering is given to you. You're justified by faith and not by your works. If you had to be good enough before you could get the gift of God, then you ain't got no hope. Because what you're dealing with right now is your nature. And you can't be better than what you are. Only God, who is Lord over all, and all flesh is submitted unto Him, can make you what you are not. And it's kind of like picking yourself up by your bootstraps. You can only do what you are. And thank God for the propitiation so that we can get between here and the cleansing. Once the cleansing has taken place, we don't have to deal with that particular part of the flesh because it's been cleansed. Romans 3:25, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to show His righteousness because of the passing over of the sins done aforetime in the forbearance of God. We always need that, don't we? We always need a passing over of the sins done aforetime. And the blood covering covers not only the sins that we have done in our past, but in the future it will have still cleansed us of the sins that we have done in our past, which is the sins that we may be doing right now. The blood covers our ignorance. In many things we may be contrary to God that we don't know about. And we notice in Leviticus 5 that even if you didn't know about it, according to the law, you're still guilty. So no man could be justified by the works of the law. You could be forgiven by the sacrifice, but you can't be justified by the works of the law because even in your ignorance, you have failed God somewhere. Do you ever hear people, and you have asked the question too, and I have too, what if I'm offending God somewhere and I don't know it? Is that the reason this particular curse is upon me? Because I have offended God somewhere and I don't know it? Well, if you don't know it, it's not a sin. God's not holding it against you. And I know some people even deny outward immorality as sin because they want to. That's the reason. That's because they want to. But they know better. Their conscience condemns them for this until it just finally shuts up and doesn't talk to them anymore. They have seared their conscience. So there are people that justify anything they're ignorant of. But we can't be ignorant, folks. We need to continually look for truth in order that we might bear fruit. Because as you know, the truth of God's word is what gives us his divine nature and the benefits to the entire kingdom. But our ignorance, which was not justified under the law, is now totally justified before God because the blood covering covers it. And so our ignorance, you'll never have to say, is God cursing me because of something that I didn't know? First of all, he's not imputing sin against you. He may bring you through some hard trials in order to reveal to you what's down inside, like he did for Job. But Job wasn't receiving a cursing for any sin that he did. He was going through this fiery trial to reveal the self-righteousness that was in him so he could repent of it. When he saw it, then it became a sin and it needed to be repented of. Before he saw it, God called Job a righteous man. And so that's a lesson for us. Sins done aforetime. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us, him who knew no sin he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And not only that, I'm going to back up a little bit and read a little bit more of this. 2 Corinthians 5 and 18. But all things are of God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses. And that's the way it is, because of our blood covering. You may be falling short in your faith, in your works, but justification, the blood covering, is applied through your faith. Don't let your failures or your falling short bring you into condemnation, because you'll be separated from the blood covering and from justification. Not reckoning unto them their trespasses and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, we're able to go and bring this word of reconciliation to others. He is not reckoning unto us our trespasses. He has given us a gift of passing over of the sins done aforetime. And Romans 3 and 26 says, for the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he might himself be just and the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus. This is God's gift to us. We are justified through faith in Jesus, not because we've obeyed everything, not because we've attained to what we know is right. We're justified before that time. Well, why are we justified before that we do the works of Christ? Because without justification, we have no entitlement to the benefits of Jesus Christ, the nature of Jesus Christ, the holiness of Jesus Christ. And faith gives us that. You see, we have to be justified before our actions are proven godly, and we're justified by faith. Now, if you walk by faith, you get the benefit of Jesus Christ, which is that divine nature. 2 Peter 1 and 3 says, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have to see that he has already granted this unto us. That's the faith that gives us the justification that we need in order to get his benefits. So as you are right now, if you're not walking in willful disobedience, you desire to serve God. You are grieved that you're not living up to the standards that you know are godly. God's on your side, folks. He loves you. He's not condemning you. The devil is, because he wants to separate you from the blood covering. He wants to separate you from justification, and he wants to separate you from the benefits of holiness that Jesus Christ gave to you freely. And so I think we have to teach on this more often than a lot of things, because people lose sight of it so quickly. The devil reminds them of their failures. And one of the problems is we look in the mirror and we see the old man and all of his failures and his foolishness. But the Bible says if you do that, you're just going to be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Read James chapter 1. That's what it says. So instead, we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Because we don't live anymore. He lives in us. And that's how we are justified. That's the gospel in a nutshell right there. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So he is the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus. Where then is the glory? That's one thing that this system that God created totally does away with. Any glory on our part, because we're saved by grace. And it's his mercy that reaches down and gives us a gift of faith to turn to him to receive the grace that we need to walk in his presence. So, no glory is excluded by what manner of law? Of works. In other words, of works of the law he's talking about. No, not any works of the law, but just through faith in Jesus Christ. Nay, but by a law of faith, this is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets us free from the law of sin and death. The Old Testament was a law of sin and of death. And even today, if you're not under grace, you're under the law of sin and of death. Coming into grace is what separates you from that and gives you the benefits of the kingdom, the benefits of the propitiation, the covering, and the benefits of the justification, which means accounted righteous. We can all be accounted righteous as long as we don't walk in willful disobedience. We can be accounted righteous because we believe that Jesus Christ took away our sins. The Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Praise God. This is an awesome benefit that the Lord has given to us. And Colossians 1, we don't want to be separated from this awesome benefit. Verse 21. And you, being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, and without blemish and unreprovable before him, if so be that ye out continue in the faith. The devil wants to do anything he can to separate you from the faith, because as long as you're continuing in faith, God says that he's going to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him, because faith is accounted as righteousness, just like it says in Galatians 3:6. Faith is accounted as righteousness. Now, you can't be walking in faith and willful disobedience because your heart will condemn you. And so, verse 23, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, the good news, that Jesus bore your sin and bore your curse. And so, back in our Romans text, we're told this. We're told that we are justified by faith, apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yea, of Gentiles also. If so be that God is one, and he shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. We only have one way to God. There are people preaching a false gospel out there that the Jews have got their own covenant. Folks, there's only one covenant. There is no other name wherein we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Jesus Christ is it. No other. because that's a false gospel, and it's catching on right now. Verse 31, do we then make the law of none effect through faith? God forbid. Nay, we establish the law. So there's only one way that the law can be established, and that's through faith. We can't be good enough to keep it all. It can only be established through faith. And it's the only way we can be justified, so that we can receive grace, so that we can keep the law. Grace is God working in us, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And we are able to walk well-pleasing in His sight because our sins are covered, and His grace gives us power to obey. And obedience is what the law points us to, but gives us no power to attain to, and that's why no one could be justified through the law. Romans 4:1. What then shall we say that Abraham our forefather hath found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not toward God. If he was justified by works, it would have been by keeping the whole law. He couldn't have been justified before God, but many people brag because of what they have done, even if it is good works. They think that this gives them an edge with God. But if they forget that they are a failure, a total failure, in keeping the will of God, and that the only way they can be justified is through faith in Jesus Christ, then their bragging proves that they don't understand the gospel. They don't understand that the Lord can't accept any self-justification through any works. There is a gospel going out there today that you can't be justified before God unless you tithe. And so these people feel, okay, I'm going to tithe today. That way I can be justified before God. That's just another false gospel. It's a lie. It's a stench in God's nostrils. And it's not the word. If you go looking for it, you can't find it. The truth is, that's manipulation by preachers who want to make you support them, whether you have a willing heart or not. But God loves a cheerful giver, it says, and He wants it to come from your heart. So anybody that does that is dragging you under the law. Justification by works of the law, and God says that's a curse. It's a curse for the people that do it, and it's a curse for the people that believe it. So you need to repent of that and turn away from it, and don't listen to those people again. It's just a manipulation. They want your money. Verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not toward God. Folks, that's so true. We just saw in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 that a man can be justified in his words by simply agreeing with God. Saying this, God, your word is true. I agree with that promise. That's mine. I accept your word is true. And of course, that is really a work of faith, because you're saying by faith that you believe and accept that promise. Let God be true and every man a liar. And it's a way of being justified. It's a way of proving your faith. James 2:18 says, and I, by my works, will show thee my faith. And in Galatians 2, we're told in verse 16, yet knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we believed on Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's like God is saying, look, we said it three times here. It needs to sink in. When God repeats something like that, he wants you to get a hold of it. Verse 17, but if while we sought to be justified in Christ, we ourselves also were found sinners. Is Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. Some people say we're just sinners saved by grace, and they don't understand what justified is. If you're a sinner, then you're not justified. Verse 18, for if I build up again those things which I destroyed, I prove myself a transgressor. For I through the law died unto the law that I might live unto God. And I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live. That's the sinner. He's dead. He's gone. We're justified because the old man was crucified with Christ, and he doesn't live any longer. And that's why we're justified. But Christ living in me, and that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. You're living in the flesh, but you're trusting in God. You're not walking by sight in your failure and your foolishness, but you're trusting in God. You are claiming with God that you don't live anymore, but Christ lives in you. And he goes on to say in verse 21, I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness is through the law, then Christ died for naught. If you could be good enough to be acceptable with God, then Jesus died for nothing. And if you could keep all of the things that you believe God wants you to do, then Christ died for nothing. So we're told that Abraham was reckoned righteousness, and he's reckoned righteous apart from the law. And he says in Romans 4:4, now to him that works, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of debt. See, if you were able to do by your own strength everything that you think you need to do, then God would owe it to you. But it ain't going to happen. It would be the reward is not reckoned as a grace, but as a debt. We're never going to be justified. We got no way to get from here to there. Evil cannot become righteousness. There has to be a change of nature that has to come from God. And it only comes because we're justified through faith. Verse 5, but to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Folks, that's our hope, that along this path of growing closer and closer to God, entering more and more into his godly nature, and having his godly nature enter more and more into us, along this path, there's no way to walk this path. There's no power to walk this path. This hill that's constantly going upward without justification through faith, and the devil seeks very earnestly to separate you from that. Because if he can, then we'll live under condemnation and we'll have no faith. We'll have no justification. We'll have no power from God. And our path upward stops immediately. And so we have to be reminded of this so that we'll get back on the right path here. Abraham wasn't justified because he was able to please God in himself. He was justified because he believed God. Now, in the case that we're talking about in Romans chapter 4, that God could give him a seed, can you imagine? It didn't have nothing to do with what people call salvation nowadays. But we're justified when we call God true and every man a liar. When we agreed with God, it doesn't matter whether it has to do with salvation, but it has to do with us believing God in any trial that he sends our way. And Abraham, who was not able to bring forth fruit, a son, and Abraham and Sarah were not able, they were a picture of those under the law who could not please God. They were not able to bring forth the fruit. Romans 4:20, yet looking into the promises of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith. And that's how we do it, folks. Giving glory to God and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And we trust that God is able to do in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is able to do in us what we cannot do any other way. So we put our faith in him as Savior, and he forgives our sins, even while we are in the midst of them. Now I'm going to read on from where we were in chapter 4 and verse 5. Romans 4 and 5. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. Now here's our hope, that even while we're failing, God justifies the ungodly. Even in the midst of our failure, he justifies the ungodly. His faith is reckoned for righteousness. Now here's a guy God's calling righteous when he is failing God. That's the good news. So you out there who have more and more knowledge of God and the path of God and what pleases God and what it is to walk in the Spirit, don't let this drag you down. Instead, you're supposed to keep your eyes on the Lord and on the promises. It's him in you that's going to bring to pass and be obedient to his word. Verse 6, even as David also pronounces blessings upon the man unto whom God reckons righteousness apart from works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Glory be to God. Verse 9, is this blessing then pronounced upon the circumcision or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say to Abraham, his faith was reckoned for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? You see, was he reckoned righteous when the flesh wasn't cut off or when it was cut off? It was before it was cut off that he was reckoned as righteous. Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while he was in uncircumcision. So the obedience came later. God justified him while he was in disobedience, and the obedience came as a sign of his faith. Meaning what? Meaning God gave him this gift of obedience through his faith. You got to hold on to your faith, and you don't walk by sight, and you don't look at yourself, and don't look at your failures. And if you're in willful disobedience, repent, because you can have no grace from God if you don't. For willful disobedience, you get nothing but judgment. You have no sacrifice either. But that wasn't Abraham's situation. He was failing in a type to bring forth fruit. And he had no ability within himself to bring that fruit forth. Neither did Sarah. So in his faith, which I might add didn't come to fruition until the last year before Isaac was born, he was stumbling in his faith, and he only became steady within the last year when he was believing God to bring forth the promised seed, and God brought it forth. Many of you have wasted a lot of time in unbelief, and what you need to do is keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on his promises. Don't be distracted by your failures and your foolishness, because we have all come out of it. Get your eyes on justification through faith in his blood. If his blood's yours, then you have his nature. Because it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, reconciliation is an exchange of his blood for your blood. You were crucified with Christ, and now he lives in you. And if you keep your eye on that, he'll give you his faith. He'll give you his gift of obedience. Meanwhile, you ain't got no choice. If you want to walk with God and walk in his favor, that's his grace, you're only going to be justified because you accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on your behalf. Like Abraham, he looked unto the promise of God. He wavered not through unbelief. It's God who's the one that's going to bring this to pass, not us. And we just keep our eyes on his promise. Lord, you know what you're dealing with here, and it's dirt. We're just the clay, and you're the master, and we see your promise. And we know that you promised us your divine nature, that we're to see that through your precious promises, we are to be partakers of your divine nature. And we even need grace from God to hold fast. We need to ask God to give us his grace so we can hold fast to his promises. Because Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, not of your works, that no man should glory, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works," for his good works. Our works won't get us anything. It's his works that are everything. And he's the one who plans to come and live in us and do his works. Praise be to God. It's a precious gift from heaven. And it's the only way that we can walk with him again. Between here and the cleansing, we need this grace to be able to walk with him. When this cleansing comes, it's coming constantly in our life as we walk in the light. And of course, he's cleansing away the old life, the old man, and bringing to life that new man. And that's what the washing of the water with the word does. But this doesn't happen without faith. So we have to hold fast the confession of our hope that it waver not, for he is faithful, that promise. Anytime we're not doing this, we're wasting time. We're not progressing, climbing the kingdom of God. So, folks, I hope this encouraged you a bit and reminded you of something that you already knew but needed to be reminded of again. God bless you. Stay encouraged in the Lord. He's on your side. He loves you, and he's going to bring it to pass. Glory to God.